this weekend because we'll fall. Yeah, I need it.
Especially for the people that go to work.
Gosh.
I get an extra hour of sleep.
Oh, Lord, and Lord.
Instead of getting up at 12 o'clock, I'll have to get up at 11 o'clock. Back an hour, right?
Yes, yes.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to get ready to bring our meeting to order. I need to wait till the city clerk comes back in. She was trying to clarify something.
Oh, Miss James disappeared.
No, she's on. She's
trying to clarify an issue. Ladies and gentlemen, if you will, just please ensure that your cell phones are in a silent position. You wasn't able to find her? Oh. Okay, well, okay, I'll stop, and then we'll stop right there, those three. We'll stop right there at that point. Okay.
Uh-oh. It's another lady who's sitting out there.
Yeah, I mean, that's what you said, three, and that's it. Then we'll stop right there. But go ahead and... seven and up.
I'm trying to control it.
Okay. At this point, we're going to call our meeting to order. City clerk will call the roll of council.
Honorable Mayor Pro Tem Alex Heath.
Present.
The Honorable Linda J. Davis.
Present.
The Honorable Samantha Hudson.
Present.
The Honorable Hattie Portis Jones.
Present.
The Honorable Ulysses J. Smallwood.
Present.
Mr. Mayor, you have a quorum.
Okay, thank you so much.
I need to see if Serena is still on the, she's still on. So the attorney is, Serena Noel is on, and I believe the city administrator, Tony Phillips.
Move on, okay. Members of the public, if you will, can you please stand for our invocation? Father, we come before your presence with thanksgiving. We enter into your course of praise. Father, we thank you to pray over this meeting tonight. Dear Father, we just pray that right now it'll be done in decent order. We just pray as the City Council of Fairburn, dear Father, can consider the agenda and conduct it in business in decent order in your name. Amen.
Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America.
At this point, we don't have any presentation or proclamations. And so, members of council, I need to entertain a motion to adopt the agenda, but I need to move item number two to the regular agenda.
So moved.
Is there a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Motion is made properly second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? That motion carries. At this point, public comment, 30 minutes will be allocated for public comment. Each speaker shall be limited to 3 minutes. However, the speaker may transfer his or her 3 minutes to another speaker, but no speaker shall be permitted to speak for more than six. Further in the event, if there's more than 10 speakers, how many speakers do we have?
I have six speakers.
We have six, so we'll remain at the three-minute interval. Issues raised at this time will be sent to the city administrator for a review and responses will be provided at a later date. But at this point, go ahead and call our first speaker.
Mike, are you ready? 3 minutes. Okay, the first, Ernie Brooks.
Hello, everyone.
Hello.
I want to share a bulletin from the economic, the Fairburn Economic Committee back from 2009. And the city manager was Mr. Jim Williams. He was instrumental in developing Peachtree City, and he was our city manager. Mm-hmm. And he was asked a question about what improvements what's coming up, and I just want to bring out two things. What areas are substantial on the agenda? And he said, reflecting back to 2003, one, put the brakes on out-of-control residential development. Wow, the tide has turned, hasn't it? The other thing, he's got several things I just want to mention, too. Develop first-class police and fire departments. Wow. So, anyway, the tide has turned, and, you know, I don't want to sound too cynical. However, we're living in a time now where words are violence and also silence is violence. I come from a place where silence is golden. But not being silent tonight, I felt somewhat slighted and thought that this was unethical when you guys voted to increase your pension benefit monthly. You didn't include past leaders that sat on the council. You guys and appointees. In 5 years, you're vested, and, you know, to me, that just seemed a little unethical. And the only two people was Mr. Whitmore, Ms. Hudson, that didn't get the memo or the email and spoke out and were not uncoupled from taxpayers. And it seems a little unethical to me that with the development that's going on now at a fast pace, you have an open access to the taxpayers' pocket to do whatever you want to do, and you don't want to include the taxpayer at the table to have a say-so. Now, you have an opportunity with the comp plan, et cetera, and LCI plan, but that's sort of like here's a limited time when it comes down to being at the table with the issues. No, you're excluded because you may be considered a third-party beneficiary. So it's about control, in my opinion. So as you may or may not know, I've complained about townhouses being on my property. That's been removed in the LCI plan, but what's been put across the street at Milo Fisher and State Route 92 is an 8,000-foot retail space. That was changed from an 8,000-foot warehouse that was a part of the Milo Fisher development that's now been moved. However, all this seems a little unethical to me because it seems like there's something else going on. And if I may, the city cemetery, why not do like Atlanta,
you,
Georgia,
your
does
time, time
and turn
expired.
It into sir, a park?
Time is up.
Time's up.
Speaker.
Thank you for letting me vent.
James Whitmore.
Thank you. Good evening, Mayor and Council.
Good evening. Good evening.
I'm just standing before you. I'm full of joy. And I feel real good. There's been a long race, and the race is almost over. But I want to say to the citizens out there, this Friday on the 31st, my campaign is having a Cochran Mill Brewery Presents Boo and Brew. And we want to get the kids off the street and get them in a safe environment. I'm going to have Cowboy Fair Jones out there with horses for the individuals to ride. Going to have some live entertainment. Going to have food trucks. We're just going to have a good time as a Fairburn family. I ask you to come out. And my other comment is, Mr. Ernie, I do agree with you. I did not vote for that increase for mayor and council. I felt that going from a $48 to $100.
Over 100.
$100 just wasn't right. I still stand here as not a member of council, but as a citizen, and I'm saying it wasn't right. But we understand because we know certain people are leaving this year, and they wanted to make sure that they had that $100 per year of service. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Next speaker.
Anna Tavia Benson.
Good evening, Mayor and Council.
Good evening.
Everyone in the room and online. I'm sure you guys are used to, probably is tattooed on my forehead, about the property at 101 Durham Lakes Parkway, the proposal. I just wanted to let everyone know that all candidates now have the letter if you wish to express your concern. So for those who are residents of Durham Lakes, there is a letter for you. For those who are residents of the city of Fairburn outside of Durham Lakes, there's a letter for you. And it's also been translated into Spanish as well. So feel free to reach out to your candidates. Every single candidate has a letter. Everyone's in support of this. Also, kind of piggybacking off of that, as former Councilman Whitmore stated, we're just a few days until the election. And so with these 8 days that remain, I encourage everyone to check out all candidates' websites, get to know your candidates, get to know where their meet and greets are, because there are quite a few that are still up and going for these next 8 days. And more than anything, please get out and actually vote. It is so important that you exercise that right. You have no excuse. If there are members that are put on council or if the mayor is in place and you are unhappy with that decision, if you did not voice your thoughts, your heart in this, then there's no one that you can point the finger at except yourself. So please, this is more than a right. It's a privilege. And so exercise that right. And then finally, for council, I know we have a youth council. There have been residents of Fairburn who are unaware of how council meetings run, even now with everything that's posted on your website and through council members' websites. So what I would like to suggest is engaging the youth council to maybe make summaries of the council meetings in their own words, that they can post on their social media platforms. It gets the word out a little bit further in their own words, in their own language. And perhaps we can engage the youth council a little bit more because we need to see them as well. We keep talking about the youth. So let's make them front and center as well. Thank you.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Next speaker.
Danielle Mayweather.
Mayor and members of City Council.
Good evening. Evening.
My name is Danielle Mayweather, and I'm here to address a serious concern regarding how my mother has been treated, someone who serves on City Council. Recently, attempts were made to deliver impeachment paperwork to her in ways that were completely inappropriate and unsafe. Individuals who are not police officers or city officials have come to our home trying to hand over these documents. On one occasion, a police officer even tried to force me to take the paperwork, claiming that because I'm at least 15 years old, I could accept it, even though my name wasn't on the document. This was not only improper, but put me and my family in uncomfortable and safe situations. At our home, we have a minor and a disabled adult. Having random unauthorized people show up at our door for official city business is dangerous and unacceptable. When someone comes onto my property and refuses to leave after being asked multiple times, that becomes a safety issue. And like any other resident, I have the right to protect myself, my home, and my family if I feel threatened. I also want to make it known that I'll be working with Fairburn Police Department to identify the individual who entered my property and refused to leave. Also to figure out who gave that individual the paperwork. This situation should never have happened. And I hope the city takes steps to ensure that all official matters are handled through proper professional channels moving forward. I expected more care, professionalism, and respect for safety from the office of the mayor. No family should ever feel threatened or intimidated in their own home, especially not because of actions coming from city leadership. Thank you for your time and for listening to my concern.
Thank you. Next speaker.
Lee Watson.
Good evening, Mayor and Council.
Good evening.
It's almost Halloween. I'm dressed as a historic preservation advocate. You're considering adoption of the comprehensive plan tonight. I strongly encourage that. It's a great plan. Yep. It will serve the city well. The important thing with the plan is to implement it, so I certainly hope that the next steps recommended for implementation will be seriously and regularly followed. On those, I have two comments, and I think my written comments were included in the agenda package. Simply would request that community work program items NC1 and NC2, that the start date for those be changed to 2026. NC1 is forming a historic preservation commission, and that's actually been talked about here for years, so I don't see any reason to delay. There's no cost associated with that. There's people who would be happy to serve. Item NC2 is the only work program item that mentions the courthouse, and it is slated to start in 2029. And with all that we've been dealing with the courthouse, surely there's no reason to wait 3 more years before giving it further assessment. I don't think that's the city's intent. I think it's just a matter of clarification. So I would encourage just simply those two X's be moved. A couple additional items. I noticed on your agenda tonight you have pending approval for tree trimming. I would encourage as you go forward as a council to look at opportunities to similarly invest in tree planting and expanding and protecting our tree canopy. I perfectly understand the reason for the tree trimming and appreciate that and respect that. And I know that we have an arborist. It would just be great to continue to invest in tree planting as well. That's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you so much, sir. Mm-hmm.
Nikki Tyson.
Hi. I actually just wanted to come and thank you guys. A couple of months ago, my property had a fire, and the fire department did an amazing job. I've been extremely busy, so I was unable to come sooner to just kind of give my props to them and just share it with you guys. That's pretty much it.
Awesome.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
That's it, Mr.
That's our last speaker. Oh, okay. Excuse me, ladies and gentlemen. Members of council, you have before you the city council minutes for the city council meeting that commenced on October the 13th, 2025. Is there a motion?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
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 All opposed? That motion carries. Members of council, you have before you minutes from the special call meeting that commenced on October the 20th, 2025. Is there a motion to approve?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Motion has been made and properly second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Abstain.
That motion, yes, ma'am. That motion carries, mm-hmm. and we'll go to our first regular agenda item. In this case, will be the comprehensive plan adoption.
The first item is a comprehensive plan adoption. It is a request for mayor and council approval of a resolution to adopt a 5-year update to the City of Fairburn comprehensive plan to be entitled City of Fairburn Comprehensive Plan 2045.
Okay.
Greetings.
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 The item before you is the comprehensive plan adoption resolution. The item has been reviewed by several members of the public. They did a fantastic job of providing us with amazing transparency and feedback throughout this process. Why we plan, you've heard this before from the consultant, so I won't go through all of it, but just to make sure that we are being intentional about growth, strengthening our downtown key corridors, and aligning new development with infrastructure. Fairburn today, we have a lot of information in there, a lot of great information about population and why so many people are interested in coming to Fairburn and investing in Fairburn. But from the residents, we heard that they want a vibrant downtown, retail, sit-down restaurants, safer mobility, better managed development, more parks, trails, housing for all ages. Along with those initial comments that were a part of the process for developing the comprehensive plan. Once the draft was completed, we did receive some additional comments regarding just strong support for it overall, more of a request for historic preservation, in particular the courthouse and downtown revitalization, while also making sure that everything is done in a way that's safe demand for quality retail, grocery store options, finer dining options, and there was a request for some zoning flexibility regarding Milam Road. The request was from a developer. They were hoping that the highway mixed use would extend, but that was not the direction that the residents provided to us, so we made sure that we adhered to what the residents kind of wanted to see and the feedback we received in terms of just infrastructure capacity. Of course, they can always submit their request, and we have always recommended to anyone who had any interest or concerns to formally submit their request so that it can go through the process of getting community input, transportation studies. But I did want to let you know that that request was a part of those public comments. As we all know, some of those key challenges that were mentioned in the comprehensive plan are congestion, truck conflicts, barriers separating north and south, limited housing diversity, the need for rural protection, industrial pressures on neighborhoods. And we know that our opportunity zone is a downtown area. It is a area that has a lot of character. It's a high redevelopment potential. And then, of course, with 74 having all of that investment from GDOT, but there were also concerns from residents regarding some of the other areas that were not necessarily on the major corridor, but wanting to see transportation improvements. So the vision statement, Fairburn grows with purpose, connects with care, and invests in what makes Fairburn unique. The plan foundation is really three elements: balanced growth, making sure people recognize great places, connectivity, safe transportation network, high quality of life, and strong community identity. That's, as we move forward, if this plan is adopted, that is the foundation. In terms of kind of what is new, one of the things that's always mentioned as a part of the conversation is transportation, walkability, making sure that things are, we have capacity for whatever new development is coming. But then utility, drainage capacity, verifying that if any person or developer is interested in developing in Fairburn, making sure that we have the capacity, that we are aligning any growth with those priority areas and making sure that those areas are infrastructure ready, along with the sort of traditional, does this fit? Does the plan designation have what the developer is mentioning? That's kind of our usual way of doing it, but the plan does calls for us to be a bit more comprehensive in just making sure that we have the capacity for the new growth. In terms of just general areas, of course, we all know that 74 has a lot of growth that's happening downtown. All of those are highlighted in the plan. So our smart growth strategy, just make sure to direct growth to downtown and our corridors, focus on infill and redevelopment and align zoning with infrastructure capacity and maintain the rural Southwest and community character. And with downtown, we're looking to revitalize while also preserving that historic character, improving access and parking, making sure to focus on walkable box and public spaces and mixed-use housing and retail. And of course, with 74, thinking outside of just it being a place where people can drive through really, really fast and get to places conveniently, but thinking about transforming auto-oriented development into destination places, looking at beautification. A lot of that is happening with some of those investments, but just making sure that that is mentioned in the plan and a focus area. And also sit-down restaurants, which people have mentioned quite a lot, both in downtown and along 74, and making sure that our intersections are safe all around, especially in like the Foxwood area and those areas where they're not necessarily along 74, but they all utilize that area, so they want their connections to be safer. Housing, senior housing was mentioned, allowing people to age in place, missing middle housing, especially as it relates to folks like first responders, teachers, making sure people have access to homes, protecting the existing neighborhoods, and requiring quality design. We also mentioned mobility, sidewalks, freight routes that avoid neighborhoods, bridge barriers, roadway safety improvements for economic development. Again, that's grocery stores going to come up a lot. It was mentioned quite a bit in the comprehensive plan because that was one of the things that folks said they wanted to see, and making sure workforce housing is aligned to high-value jobs. Mm-hmm. As it relates to utilities and infrastructure, planning utilities ahead of growth. Broadband is one of those things that the state requires all local governments to include. And, of course, we did that in just also understanding that there are areas where we will need upgrades and then stormwater resilience. And just a couple of things in the capital improvement priorities, downtown access, gateway design. Our LCI study did a fantastic job of looking at different options, and then Highway 85 interchange and 74, the Oakley Industrial Boulevard upgrades, looking at Greenway connection, and of course, water and sewer expansion. And where we are now, if this plan is approved, we would proceed with looking at zoning reforms to make sure that what is in the comprehensive plan and what is in the zoning, that we make those two areas connect. We do have an audit that's also in the comprehensive plan, so I would encourage everyone to look at that so you can see where those gaps are and where we need improvements, and then also establishing design standards. And as we move toward the future, of course, where investments are available, trunk routing, industrial performance standards, things of that nature. And with anything, you know, you want to look at what are your key performance indicators. Years from now, when people are looking at our comprehensive plan, we want to make sure that they are limited vacancies downtown, that we have multiple retail options, what are our crash rates, housing diversity, infrastructure keeping pace with growth. Those are our success measures. In closing, we know that Fairburn is situated to succeed when we lead with growth and purpose. The next step is the item before you, is the adoption, and then for council to prioritize some of those items at the back of the plan so we can actually start implementing and sort of, as always, maintaining that ongoing community engagement. As Mr. Walton mentioned, the plan is one thing. The implementation is an entirely different thing, and it does take some time. But I think if we continue to look at it, revisit it, and actually put some time frames on this, that may be moved up if that's the will of council. But that is our comprehensive plan, and I know that was a lot of information all at once. I did breathe.
Okay. Members of council, let me bring it to the floor then, Mr. Smallwood. I'll let you start. Okay. Members of council, can I bring an item to the floor? Is there a motion to adopt?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Mr. Smallwood, second by Ms. Hudson. Okay, and Mr. Smallwood, you have some questions. Go ahead, sir.
It may be not the time right now, because I do know that you stated that those were just comments, but I'm seeking a little clarification. If you could give it to me, because I saw Mr. Walton's comments, but I also saw the other comments. And like I said, I know this may not be the time, but was that proposing houses, building houses to rent?
No. One of the... if you're talking about Mr. Walton's,
his... No, not Mr. Walton's.
Okay, yes. So there was a developer that is interested in doing some new developments in the city along Milam, close to the new fire station. Their request was for the highway mixed-use zoning designation, and that wasn't what the community wanted. We did talk about it to various stakeholders, and they wanted residential, and they thought that was appropriate, but not necessarily the highway mixed-use, which is what you see for the properties that are along 74 and actually touch 74.
Right.
They thought residential was appropriate, but, I mean, with anything, we have to look at sort of the infrastructure capacity, traffic, all of those items. So if the developer or anyone is interested in moving forward, they would have to answer those questions, along with making sure that it matches that character area, which is residential, but not necessarily high-density residential.
Yes. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Congratulations. I know that this was a very long process and probably one of your biggest projects yet, right, Miss?
Was it definitely top five?
It's one of the top five big projects. So we're here now, and I'm great. I'm great with the community engagement, how the community bought into this, the process, and the consultants that worked with our city to get this done. And so we're at a point where we're getting ready to adopt this plan. And so for our residents and our colleagues, I want us to talk about this. Adopting this comprehensive plan isn't just about land use and zoning. It's about vision and investment. Plans without funding are just wish lists. What makes ours powerful is how we position it to fund itself through innovation, collaboration, and stewardship. For too long, cities like ours have relied solely on general funds, splash dollars, or the kindness of grants. But forward-thinking cities, the ones that thrive, are using, of course, now impact fees, public-private partnerships, green infrastructure credits, and creating funding tools to turn vision into reality. Imagine pairing private development with public purpose, where a business corridor helps pay for road investments, or where a greenway expansion is supported through environmental credits and philanthropic partnerships. We can explore tax allocations, districts for redevelopment, infrastructure banks for major corridors, federal programs like RAISE or LWCF to match our local investment with national dollars. Innovation also means accountability. For every new funding mechanism should come with transparent reporting. Citizens should know where each dollar goes and what return it yields and quality of life, safety, and opportunity. So when we vote to adopt this plan, we're not just approving pages of policy. We're declaring that Fairburn's growth will be intentional, will be equitable, and financially sustainable. We're saying that our future will not be limited by what's in the bank today, but expanded by what we can imagine and responsibly build together. So this message is about let's innovate, let's lead, let's make sure Fairburn's comprehensive plan isn't just adopted, but let's activate it. Thank you.
No, I'm good, Mayor. Thank you.
Good.
Okay. I had a couple of things. Excuse me. Gotta have the cannon in my mouth. Ladies and gentlemen, this comprehensive plan document is pretty extensive. It's 500 plus pages. I went through the entire document for the last week. And so, long story short, there's a couple of pages. I'm just gonna ask those that are taking notes or looking again. There's so many areas I would love to tell you to look at, but I just a couple of them brought by. If you just notice on page 20. And it talks about the plan purpose, what has Fairburn accomplished. It'll give you almost 9 categories in different areas. Again, this information was done with the public, so it's not the staff. It's a collaborative effort. But please look at those accomplishments of what Fairburn has accomplished on page 20. Also, we talked about housing earlier today in our workshop. So, again, would you go look at, when you get a moment, please review page 27 where the information starts to talk about the size of housing as it relates to at a glance in the city, in the household size incomes. Another area that caught my attention while going through it was start on page 69. It deals with the jobs. I apologize. I'm trying to flip as I'm talking to you. On page 69, you'll see where employment, jobs, and workforce, again, workforce development is a major, major thing right now in all government, not just Fairburn, all county, all 159. Counties and 500 plus cities. So if you look at the key on page 104, again, this is a 500 page document, so I couldn't sit here and tell you every single item that I thought was important, but in particular, page 104, and I'm trying to flip through it, excuse me one second, talk about it. Page 104 talks about key takeaways as relates to this study and as a result of this exercise. Again, there's tons and tons of information. But those are just some key info areas I thought would be a great start for those that don't want to sit down and literally read through this entire document. The final area, and there's a great appendix in the back, great appendix, but the final one would be look at page 195 that talks about next steps. What is the role of government? And so that's a very, very great, in this case, as relates to the role, as relates to the funding, as it relates to how the city and its partner and private and partnerships acquire actually the funding to pay for some of this and what we're talking about doing. So again, the document is extensive, 500 pages, but again, there's 6 areas that I wanted to identify that I thought was very eye-opening when I was going through the document. So I just want to mention that. Members of council, does anybody else have a comment? Go ahead, Ms. Davis.
Yes, thank you, Mayor. Yes, it's a very extensive plan, and I would like to have a complete copy of the comp plan myself. I like papers. I don't like looking. I mean, I look through on my phone, but I would like a copy of that. And I would just like to congratulate and thank everyone that participated in the different plans that we have here to pull this comprehensive plan together, especially our citizens. You were diligent. You showed up. You participated. You voiced your opinions. And that's what makes this city the city that it is our citizens. We wouldn't need to be here if you all weren't here. So I want to thank you so much for your involvement in this. After all, you are Fairburn. That's right. And our staff, Ms. Denise, thank you so much for your leadership. It is awesome what you do and how you do it being so cool and calm. and other staff members that participated in this comp plan, council members and everything. It is a document that I can also put my name on, and I don't put my name on a lot of stuff, but it's a document to be extremely proud of. And I also agree with our colleague, Samantha Hudson, and some of the things that she said was just right on as it relates to this document. So my hat goes off to you. And the other big thing that we have to do is implementation. So thank you.
All right, so any other members of council? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed? That motion carries.
The next item is the Department of Natural Resources, Land and Water Conservation Fund Resolution and Agreement. It is a request for mayor and council approval of a resolution authorizing the mayor to accept a grant donation in the amount of $440,855.40 from the Department of Natural Resources, Land and Water Conservation with specific conditions to the city of Fairburn and for the mayor to execute the agreement.
Okay. Members of council, you have before you a Department of Natural Resources, Land and Water Conservation Fund Resolution and Agreement. Is there a motion to approve this?
So moved.
There's a second.
Second.
Any comments by council? Ms. Hudson, go ahead.
Yes, I have a couple of questions.
Yes, okay.
Did you want to do a presentation?
I can, yeah.
Go ahead.
So almost to the day, we came to you guys last year, October 28th, to ask your permission to go ahead and apply for this grant. The grant was awarded to us. Mm-hmm. We have been awarded through the Land and Water Conservation Fund, known as LWCF, to support the renovations of Mario B. Avery Park. This project will include the addition of a walking trail, outdoor exercise equipment, a water feature, and upgrades to meet ADA accessibility. This park is located within a walkable community right next door to City Hall, and this would allow visitors a place to exercise, a place of leisure, especially next to our senior facility, as current conditions don't allow for any access with anyone with any type of limitations. So this project, we're really excited about it. I just want to say that this is a part of the Parks Master Plan. This is something that we went through last budgetary year was through our Parks Master Plan. So we are continuously trying to find funding options to continue to push this plan forward. This is the first project in the plan. Our second will be renovations to our baseball complex that Mayor and Council approved through this budget year. It's just a phased approach that we'll continue to phase out to hopefully at some point get through that $202 million budget that the Parks Master Plan has put on us for a complete renovation. But we'll continue to find funding. I want to just thank Ms. Evelina with our grants department, with our grants consulting, Jada Berry, Ms. Chris, Lester, and Denise, who helped push this to the finish line as we needed a lot of documents to get this to where we are today. So thank you.
Okay, Ms. Hudson.
Thank you. Good job. So you talked about upgrades. So are we going to use the entire $440,855.40 on one area, or are we going to look to see if we can make improvements in Duncan Park in one of our most higher use areas to kind of push us forward?
So this grant is specific to this location. So with the federal dollars, we have to follow what we applied for. But that doesn't mean that we're not showing attention to Duncan Park. we are continuously going after grants, looking at things that we can do to get Duncan Park to where it needs. The Parks Master Plan identified a lot of deficiencies throughout our park system. We really don't have a park system. So the goal is to establish that park system here in Fairburn. Duncan Park needs some love. And we're going to start giving some love to Duncan Park through this budgetary year, thanks to the dollars that you guys have allocated for us. Should be some noticeable changes, but there's a lot to do. So I want to say we're going to have to phase it in, but we do have a process, and we're going to continue to work through it, work through the plan, and try to identify funding sources. Definitely the impact fees will help, but also other options to try to get our park system to what a North Fulton County park system looks like.
Thank you. And so how were the priority, how did we prioritize this park over Duncan Park, and what community input supported that selection?
So as we mentioned last year, once we were notified of this grant, we needed a shovel-ready project. Prior administration, our past planning and zoning director, worked to get a plan for Mario Beavery Park prior to her departure. Mm-hmm. So we already had this plan in place. It just had not been implemented due to lack of funding. When we saw the grant and what all was going into to get the funding, there's a lot of details that are needed. Yeah. To have something that was already mapped out, that was had already gone through a lot of processes, we had to run with it. And as we're trying to get some quick wins and some low-hanging fruit, we couldn't let that bypass. But Mario B. Avery Park is identified in the Parks Master Plan as an extreme park improvement project. Through our Parks Master Plan, we did have a lot of community engagement that came in, identified different areas. People came in with areas that focus them that they really want to see happen. Mario B. Avery was more of a highlight for our seniors that live in the manor and some of our communities that kind of walk around this area. There are no stairs. There's nothing leading down to that park, especially with being highly senior used. That was just a big priority to get an ADA upgrades.
So I want to make sure that I'm clear. The community feedback that you got was not specific to the Mario B. Avery Park, but specific to the park's master plan. And in the time that you engaged residents at that time, you got feedback that talks about prioritizing the Mario B. Avery Park in your move with this grant funding. Or was it one of the ideas that you said, we have the data of what we know people said, we have this opportunity, we don't want to lose this opportunity, but we may not have specific input to this, but we have this opportunity.
So it was more the latter. We didn't want to lose out on this funding opportunity. As we try to chip away at that $202 million whole price tag that the Parks Master Plan identifies that it will take to upgrade our system completely, that we couldn't let almost $500,000 kind of slide out, especially when we had a plan that was done through prior administration, a prior staff member. We needed to take that to the finish line, especially when we were presented with the opportunity to do it. Now, for future grants and future opportunities, we are constantly planning to identify a park location over on the other side of the city at Johnson Road, to make some baseball upgrades to Duncan Park, which our baseball community was heavily involved in our Parks Master Plan. We had an entire meeting that lasted probably 2 to 3 hours about baseball upgrades. The plan identifies a baseball complex to be built. That's not something that we can do in a blink of an eye, but what we can do is put some funding into our current baseball complex. And that has already started with the paving project that Lester led, that parking lot. If you've ever been to our baseball complex, for years it's been gravel. It was paved couple of months ago. It's been paved. So that kind of kicks off that we have some more things that we need to do to that space. Fencing, scoreboards, backstops. So a lot of stuff don't want to get into the weeds. But while we do have a current complex that we need to maintain, our goal is to have a baseball complex, and that's what's identified in the plan.
Good. This is the final comment. Great job on receiving the grant, but I want to go back and show where we missed opportunities. We had an existing plan in place, and we already knew that this was something that we needed. The missed opportunity and the gap, how we get from there to the low-hanging fruit and let's get it, and we bypass residents, this is just a missed opportunity. We had the opportunity, and we missed it. So we had something existing. It wasn't new. We knew this what we wanted to do. We know that when we're writing grants, it's a lot of paperwork, a time frame. I write them all the time. But we cannot exclude ever our residents and having a voice in that plan. So great job on securing this and securing the bag and moving toward the vision of the master plan. But when we have something on record and we know it's existing, it really was a missed opportunity. But thank you. Congratulations.
We just want to encourage every, especially the community, to give that feedback. When we did the Parks Master Plan, we put out a lot of material. We put out T-shirt giveaways. We put out a lot of, we gave away pool tickets to try to encourage people to complete the survey. Out of 16,000 residents, 17,000 residents, we only had less than 300 people complete the survey at the time. We had in-person meetings as well. So we'll continue to push. Even if you have ideas, we have an open door policy here at the Fairburn Parks and Recreation Department. We're always listening to ideas. We'll continue to consider ideas as we move forward because we know everyone has to work together, and this is a product that we want the city to be proud of in the community.
Ms. Davis and then Ms. Yes. Jones.
I want to thank you, Ms. Scott, for doing this grant in that in Muriel Avery's Park. I see our seniors at the manor coming, walking. It's in walking distance for them. A lot of them don't have cars. And I see them sitting over there, just kind of sitting. So I think this was an excellent idea to go after this grant, particularly for that park, because I know it is a great access for seniors at the manor, because I see them over there. Now it would really be a park for them to do more than just sit and to get out of their apartments and everything. So job well done. Thank you so much for your leadership.
Ms. Jones.
Yes, I too want to first of all say congratulations on receiving the grant award. And for taking the initiative to submit it when you identified the opportunity. The grant or the project was shovel-ready because the previous planning director had involved the citizens in discussing what was needed in Mario B. Avery Park. And so citizen input was involved in that, but we just didn't have the funding for it until now. So to say that there was no citizen involvement is not true. There was. Secondly, I have had several meetings at the manor, and they have asked me, every single one of them, when are we going to do something about Mario B. Avery Park? They talk about how they use the park all the time. And some of them who could not use it because of the decline, they are concerned about losing their balance and not being able to walk because the park is not level. Being able to sit, not all are able to do that. So to have the park ADA accessible, which, there was a conversation about whether this building was ADA accessible. It is, but they didn't know exactly how to access the ADA accessibility. So the residents will be overjoyed to hear that we've received a grant to upgrade that park and to make it ADA accessible. So my question to you is, what do I tell them, when do we begin this, and what's the estimated completion date?
So within this year, we hope to. We have a planning meeting. I talked to staff at our last staff meeting that post the resolution being signed, we'll get together as a team and start kind of to start putting together our calendar. Once we put the calendar together, we'll definitely share that with mayor and council, so you'll be able to let residents know about that timeline. But we'll do some things to help.
Okay, thank you. And then my second question, which I've gotten a lot of questions regarding this as well, is what are the plans for the city to be engaged with the World Cup coming to the Atlanta area? I know that Mr. Phillips has had some conversations with you about developing some plans, and that included in your budget for fiscal year 25-26 are some dollars to implement some things. So are you prepared to talk a little bit about that?
So just last week, Sylvia gathered us for a meeting with the ATL Airport District there to attract the World Cup crowd and visitors to Fairburn. So one of the things that was definitely highlighted, it was our turf field and our grass field and our James and Eric Berry Athletic Complex. We'll work with ATL Airport District, as well as over the years we've implemented soccer through a vendor that we've used over the last couple of years, and they're very ingrained into the World Cup. So we'll continue to lean on them with direction. We'll continue to work with Atlanta Airport District. They're going to come out and actually do a site visit here and help identify some opportunities where we can, whether it's watch parties, practices, or just bringing the community down to our park, we'll continue to push that. And they'll also give us some recommendations. That was something I asked in the meeting. Give us some recommendations that will make our facility more welcoming forward. So we recently added some bleachers there because we know we needed bleachers on our grass field. So those were recently added. But just to see what other ideas they may have that will make us more marketable for them.
Well, that's terrific to know. Time is of the essence, so we ask that if you would keep this body informed of that progress. All right, thank you.
Can we follow up?
I just want to thank you as well. I've lived here all my life, and when I was a young man, I played baseball on the Little League baseball teams out of Duncan Park many years ago. And if at that time, of course, the pool was open and stuff like that, but then it was closed due to black mold and stuff like that in the pool. And then we worked to get that straightened out and refurbished and removing of that old building that was over the top of it, the housing, and everything. So I for one, just appreciate the fact that you got this awarded money because we really need something in town for the senior citizens. And like myself, there's a lot of people that can't necessarily get in their vehicle and drive out, or maybe elderly or whatever. But having something here centrally located, more so for the downtown area of Fairburn, is a great idea. And thank you for what you've done. I just appreciate the fact that, like I say, nearly $500,000 in a grant. I mean, that you just don't get that every day. However, we had looked at, I think, off of Bohannon Road out in an area that we acquired from Fulton County as to do some stuff there likewise. But you have to take one thing at a time. And this, to me, is a great start, and I'm just so thankful that you had the foresight to get that money. Thank you.
And let me mention this, ladies and gentlemen. Mm-hmm. First of all, the park next door, Mario Avery in this case, is a high-value amenity for seniors. Coincidentally, my mother actually lived at the Manor at Broad a year and a half before she died. So she got a chance, even though she was in a wheelchair, several of her friends, and I know because I came over it on a regular basis, And but let me tell you, and I want to thank Tarika Peak, who actually was hired during my last administration. Great lady, great manager. And so I want to thank her for basically putting that in place, to basically shovel ready, I call it. But the thing that I believe me and you may have had this conversation maybe 2 years ago, and I'll tell you when it really hit me, and in my efforts not to overshadow management, I just asked questions, if you remember, and I said, when is Avery Park going to get touched? And the reason why, I'll tell you what brought it to my attention, and I apologize, I can't remember what the event was. It was actually Nell Smith. If she's listening, she may or may not remember it. And I was trying to help her down, I guess, take pictures or something, and she almost fell, along with two other residents, not that same day. And that's when I realized the slope is just too dangerous for us not to go ahead and do whatever it takes for seniors. With as many seniors that live in the Manor Broad that love to sit in this park, the thing that this is the reason I'm so excited about this, because whether it's my mother, whether it's your mother or grandmother, the ADA compliant is very important. Number two, I shouldn't have to be worried about if a senior wants to come to the park, that worst case scenario, they fall and tumble down a hill. And so that, again, this is great foresight. I wish I could sit here and say that it would have already, we got it done earlier. But again, I'm not a micromanager of things that needed to be dealt with before this very important point. So I want to say thank you, because again, one thing I'll give you credit for as a manager is a lot of people that may not know that and haven't dealt with you. You're real serious. If you don't believe me, look at that Fairburn Festival. She's real serious about, between her and Lester, you're real serious about priorities.
Yes.
And you may say, sir, I want to do that, but here's why. I got to go here first. So you've done that to me several times. So I want to say again, thank you again for a job well done with this. And I want to thank again Tarika Peak for having the foresight as a great manager, which she is to this day. And so,
one follow-up.
Yes, ma'am.
You know you're a rock star. You know you did it well done. For a point of clarity, I want to be very clear, because there's no need to rebut things that are fact. When I'm talking about community engagement, I think you and I have built a very strong rapport during the time we were doing the master parks. Just want to paint a picture. You're a rock star. Want to paint a picture that when we have administrations that change continuity and services, you guys are charged with that. Today was the first day that I learned that we had a shovel in the ground project, right? And so with that comes for clarification. But one of the things that we cannot ever diminish is any opportunity to engage our residents. I wouldn't care if it was 10 or whatever. Ms. Hudson, we engaged, we did it. I know it's hard. I know, because I helped you get more of them people fill out that survey for the parsing. So with that being respect, thank you, congratulations. But overall, as I practice in situating to be succeed, we're not successful without the micro, and that is the individual nuclear family. Thank you, rock star.
Thank you.
And then, and I apologize.
A lot of pressure right here.
And my closing statement on this, in this case, actually, we brought this item to council, if I remember. It was brought to council, rather. And so, again, we got the input and got both legislative and personnel over at the Manor Broad. Again, like I said, that was important to me because of so many seniors that I've come back and forth that sit at that park, especially during the summertime. So, again, thank you, thank you, thank you. So, with that being said, members of council, all in favor say aye.
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 All opposed? That motion carries.
Thank you so much.
Next item.
The next item is the approval of task order number 34 with Atlas Technical Consultants for right-of-way acquisition services on the Brooks Drive Extension Project. They're asking for Mayor and Council approval of this project on Brooks Drive Extension Project for an amount not to exceed $183,745.
Members of Council, you have before you request of approval of a task order number 34 with Atlas Technical Consultants for a right-of-way acquisition on the Brooks Drive Extension Project in the amount not to exceed $183,745. Is there a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Is there? Okay. And I'm going to go ahead. I apologize. Let me let you brief that first.
All right. Good evening, Mayor and Council.
Good evening.
Good evening.
The Brooks Drive Extension Project is a T-SPLOS 2 Tier 1 roadway project identified in the City of Fairburn's approved amended T-SPLOS 2 project list that was amended November 13, 2023. The plan view comments for the 60% plans were provided to design consultant on June 24th, 2025. The right-of-way plans were received on September 18th, 2025. 90% plans will be submitted upon completion of right-of-way acquisition. The approval of the task order number 34 will authorize Atlas to perform the right-of-way acquisition services to include title services, appraisal services, negotiations, closing services needed to acquire the 21 parcels for the extension of Brooks Drive.
Okay, and let me bring the forward, let me do the legislative piece again. Can I entertain a motion to approve?
So moved.
So moved.
Motion is made by Mr. Heath, second by Mr. Smallwood. Any questions or comments? Go ahead.
You know, I just got three little questions.
Okay, yes, ma'am.
This is the total amount. Do we need to add anything to it? Are we good and clear with this $183,745? Okay. So you're the expert on this. You got to give me a tutorial. So how does the right-of-way acquisition align with the projected traffic volume or economic development needs in that corridor?
Repeat that question.
How does the right...
I thought it was just me. I was like,
how does the right-of-way acquisition align with the projected traffic volume or economic development needs in that corridor?
So in order to construct the project, you have to acquire the right-of-way.
Okay.
So that project itself will provide an alternate entrance exit for that is 171 lot subdivision, so provide a direct access for those residents and their visitors to downtown Fairburn.
See, I told you you was giving me a tutorial. I don't know. Did we send this out to bid?
Send what out?
Was this a bidding for this project?
The project hadn't been put out to bid yet, no.
Okay, and
this is just for the design. So in order to complete the design, you have to acquire the right-of-way. Now the plans are currently at 60%. So we can't take the plans to 90%, 100% until all the right-of-way has been acquired, because if we can't acquire the right-of-way, then the alignment may change. So we have to acquire the right-of-way before you can finalize the plans.
See, I'm smarter now. We're getting the right-of-way. Thank you.
Any other members of council got a question regarding this Brooks Rise right, which is one street over? Okay, seeing none. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? That motion carries.
Thank you.
Next item is a tree trimming contract with Trees Unlimited for FY 2026. Request for mayor and council approval of the agreement with Trees Unlimited to clear the right-of-way of tree limbs and heavy vegetation for the protection of the overhead electrical distribution infrastructure, and authorize the mayor to execute the agreement FY 2026 in an amount not to exceed $180,000.
Oh, yes, sir.
Good evening, esteemed mayor and council.
Good evening.
Staff is recommending that the City of Fairburn enters into an agreement with Trees Unlimited, a vetted and approved Electric Cities of Georgia contractor, to carry out the 2026 fiscal year tree trimming contract not to exceed $180,000. Trees Unlimited have been a proven city resource in past years for tree trimming and vegetation control for our overhead power line electric infrastructure. With the electric division's proactive and aggressive implementation of our citywide tree trimming and vegetation control efforts, we have significantly reduced mass outages, damage to existing electric infrastructure and equipment. With the continuous and vigorous efforts made in this program, we anticipate future success against outages from this source in each annual trimming year. Thank you.
Members of council, you have before you a trimming contract with Trees Unlimited for fiscal year 2026. Is there a motion?
So moved.
There a second?
Second.
Any questions about comments?
Yeah, question. How frequently is each zone service, and what's the complaint response time with it? If we don't have a complaint response, let me draw that back. How often are we tree trimming, and how do we know what zones that we're doing it in?
That's a very good question, Ms. Hudson. The zones that we used to use, we would do it by circuit. But since we have had such an outage issue with it the past few years, we've turned it into a citywide effort so that we're not just following each zone with circuits out of, say, the substation on this side of town or the substation on the other side of town. When we bring the tree trimmers in now, we are trimming every right-of-way and neighborhood.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Well, hey, I'm done. Thank you.
Ms. Davis and then Mr. Smallwood.
Yes, and I would like to compliment your department for getting this contract and doing this when it is needed, because in addition to the wires, you also have areas of the city, which I live in, where there's two lanes, and then you have the trees that's growing and hovering over to the point, and if you come around that curve, that could be an accident because you don't see it. You're trying to avoid the trees, the limbs from hitting your car and stuff like that. And that's on Vickers Road all the way across 138 on Vickers Road. So since you all have been doing that, I mean, the neighbors are satisfied with it, and the area looks much better. So thank you so much for this forethought and continuously doing it, because those limbs do grow back.
Yes, ma'am.
Mr. Smallwood.
Yeah, I just had a quick question. I want to go back to what Mr. Walton said earlier, because you may not be able to answer it, but maybe anybody with staff can answer it about the tree trimming. I know we're talking about tree trimming, but the also replanting or planting of trees. I think Mr. Walton said something in his opening comments, because we are seeing a lot of development, a lot of, you know, industrial structures, neighborhoods. What do we have in place to, you know, replenish those trees we're taking away? Because, I mean, our canopy is disappearing very fast in the metro Atlanta region. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's not for you, but, I mean, anybody for staff, what do we have in place?
So right now we have the tree bank. So whenever development comes into Fairburn, if they don't meet the tree density or recompense requirements, they have to pay into the tree bank. Okay. We in turn use those funds in the tree bank to provide landscaping on public improvement projects. So all the public improvement projects where you see all the grass and the trees that we install as a part of those projects are done with tree bank funds.
So they pay into a fund, but they don't actually replant, or, you know,
we replant them.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Right. So right now I think we have about, because we've used them on, just say for instance, the Duncan Park Road project. That project is going to be about $300,000 in landscape. We're going to use tree bank funds to pay for that.
Okay.
Oakland Industrial Boulevard left turn lane project is about $200,000 in tree bank funds. We're going to pay for that. So instead of using T-Spots funds or general funds, we use tree bank funds to pay for that.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other members of council? Lester, since you're talking about tree bank, the question, the I-85 interchange project, all the clearing that's going out.
Right. It was a lot of clearing. That was me.
Oh.
I said right.
Oh.
They're going to put it back. You got to clear in order to build it.
No, I know. And I was
going to put it back. Truly, it's a significant.
Yes, sir. And I know, I mean, I'm very familiar with what it's going to look like. I guess my question would be, since you brought a tree bank, I was just wondering, I know we were blessed not to have to really spend a lot of money with that, so we won't be.
We won't spend a dime on that.
Okay.
That's all federal and state funded. So
perfect.
That $81 million is,
yeah,
none of it's coming out of city pockets.
Gotcha. That was my only question. Members of council, any other questions? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? That motion carries. Next item.
Thank you.
Utilities might as well stay. The next item is a bid award recommendation for ITB 25-06 to Helic Grading and Utilities. It is a request from Mayor and Council to award ITB to Helic Grading and Utilities in an amount not to exceed $73,000 for the Fairburn Water Main relocation project.
Good evening, Mayor and Council.
Good evening.
Y'all out here on a rainy day. The Utility Department, specifically Water and Sewer Division, seeks the Mayor and Council approval to award ITB number 25-016 to Helix Grading and Utilities LLC for the Fairburn Water Main Relocation Project, I-85 at SR 74. The city of Fairburn has three water mains that need to be relocated to prevent work stoppages and conflicts with the Georgia Department of Transportation. This work is required to avoid conflicts with the proposed storm lines for the project. The contractor will vertically relocate all three water mains at the locations that are identified on the GDOT plans. The city's contracted engineering firm, Integrated Science and Engineer, ISE, assisted staff during the competitive bidding process. This included responding to requests for information, issuing the agenda, and making the contract award recommendation. ITB number 25-016 closed on October the 7th, 2025, with 10 vendors responding. Helix Grading and Utilities, LLC, is recommended for award as the lowest and most responsive bidder. References were contacted and provided positive feedback, confirming the contractor's qualifications and successful completion of similar projects. ISE found that Helix Grading and Utilities, LLC, met all qualifications outlined in the bidding documents and is well qualified to perform the work. Staff recommends for Mayor and Council to award the contract to Helix Grading and Utilities, LLC, for the total amount of $73,000. Are there any questions?
Members of Council, you have the item before you for a bid award recommendation for Helix Grading and Utilities, LLC. Is there a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Motion is made and properly seconded. Any questions or comments by Council?
Yes, question. What risk assessments was conducted regarding this need? This is by what, the I-85 SR?
Yes, right down where they're doing the, right at 85, where they're building all the streets and it's finna do the overhang for the highway. Mm-hmm. What the technique that they used basically were potholding. Potholding is where you use specific equipment that drills down into the street and gives the depth and the length of what you need for to not hit these pipes. Once they were discovered, it found out that they had to be remapped and lowered to a certain degree so that they would not, so it would be milled over and paved to the new standards they need according to their plans.
Okay, cool. And so does this relocation align with upcoming development or state infrastructure upgrades in that interchange area?
Well, so far we've discovered those, but, you know, during the course of time, age, and sometimes doing map constructions, this is why you have to go through this process of potholding to make sure you don't hit anything that's old and not mapped out. But as far as this is concerned, this is what they need immediately.
Okay. So we can assume, like you said, you're finding things out, that you will be coming back for possibly more support as you see? Because we got a lot of development going on. And you said that... Hey, we opened this up, and we potholed it, and we're going to deal with what we found. So it is safe to say that you could possibly, in this process, moving forward, come back before council to make other upgrades in the infrastructure.
That's correct. Okay. It's a possibility.
Thank you so much.
Anyone other? Only question I had for you, in this case being the lowest bidder, and I was looking for that, I've got all this stuff tabbed. What was the major difference between the lowest bidder and the highest in terms of?
Well, as far as that, let me do this here. I have John Newman here with Integrated Science.
Yes.
Explain the process that it went through a little bit more in depth.
Okay. Yes, so I don't have the exact numbers, but off the top of my head, I believe the highest bid was around $250,000.
Correct.
The lowest bid, about $73,000.
Great.
And so normally, I mean, I review bids and solicitations. Normally, that's an item or something in this case that
with. Oh, so again, there's three items for this. One is mobilization.
Okay. The mobilization.
The other one is lowering the actual line and all the fittings and materials that comes with that. And the last one is traffic control.
Okay.
So I believe the actual lowering was one of the main differences.
Gotcha.
To cause the vast price change.
Gotcha.
Okay. Mayor, also with the packet also that was presented, there are the individual vendors.
Yes.
Their bid numbers as well.
Correct. Yeah. Any other members of council has a question? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
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 All opposed? That motion carries.
Next item is emergency repair ratification. Request mayor and council approval to pay the invoices from Civil Works for emergency repair work to water main, storm catch basin, and sewer manholes at various locations around the city in an amount not to exceed $71,000.
Members of council, you have before your water sewer emergency repair ratification. Is there a motion?
Motion to approve.
Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Ms. Davis. Any questions or comments by council?
One count.
Yes, ma'am. Go ahead.
You know what? Maintenance logs. Let's talk about that. Will maintenance logs be centralized under the fire chief's office for audit or performance review?
I'm sorry.
He'll be ready ahead of time. Have we considered an on-call or retainer model to better manage unplanned infrastructure costs?
That's correct. After seeing some of the things that we have seen, that's in progress now with procurement.
Thank you. Can staff provide incident reports for each location required, including causes and mitigation steps to prevent reoccurrences?
At this time, most of the ones that we have been storm drain and safety hazards, to which that they were emergencies and the ones that came up unexpectedly, like 7940 Sonoy Road. It had a damaged catch drain, and also the storm drain was crushed. So we had to hurry up and do that to keep that safety hazard and also from flooding out that area with heavy rains. So we had to move immediately on that. And one of the special skills with that is that each of the storm drain, you have to form that structure. You have to form that outlet there, and that takes concrete, curing, and so forth. So those are some of the challenges that we meet doing processes like this.
Thank you. And we have a lot of challenges around emergency repairs right now. It's like we're catching up, we're behind. So my last question would be, what criteria defines an emergency repair, and is there a policy requiring council notification within a set time frame?
Well, we always deem that emergency is either as a safety hazard or it causing some kind of obstruction, or the repair is so specialized that it'll cause more damage if we don't immediately take care of it. But those are the criteria that we do use, and also that criteria, we will use that when we do the on-call as well during procurement.
Do you feel that it's something we need to go ahead and officially adopt and define this emergency information, since we've been having a lot of emergencies lately, and sometimes the emergencies aren't as much of an emergency, but I'm sure, like myself, many other council members get calls about these water main breaks and things that's happening in people's yards. So I just, from a policy standpoint, to strengthen the work that you do, do we need to define that and put it in print so everybody would know what constitutes an emergency? So when you get that call at 3 a.m. in the morning, it's an emergency.
Well, it's greatly needed. And two things we do stress out of that. One thing is safety. Other is liability. Mm-hmm. Because, like you say, a sinkhole will perform, it will do overnight. And then you're looking at, I'm just using this as an example. You have a sinkhole that's formed. The emergency has to go right then because you got school buses, you got your people traveling through. And some of these happen before we even can try to mobilize and get straight. So this is almost immediately. This is not a time for to try to hunt and find things to do. It's time to respond immediately.
Thank you. So I can look forward. I'm looking forward to that conceptualization of that coming to council to review that, because you talked about two very important things, safety and liability.
Yes.
So when we draft policy, especially in the areas that promote quality of life, water main breaks, utilities, things, and the people who have to go out and respond to that, and thinking about where we are as a city right now as it relates to our liability insurance and being self-insured. So I'm thinking deeper and I'm thinking forward that we conceptualize what those emergency instances are to protect our staff, to make sure that our citizens receive the quality that they need, and we overall know how we're operating in this area. Thank you so much for all your hard work. Mr. Martin, you have really been a shining star, shining light here in the city of Fairburn, and your expertise have not gone unnoticed. And I'm very grateful that we have had you with our city this long. You truly have been a very wise and a great contribution to this city. Thank you so much for your hard work.
Thank you. Yeah.
Any other member of council has questions?
Amen.
Thank you. And I just want to mention publicly, ladies and gentlemen, the vendor that we're actually awarding the contract to has a great reputation. I've dealt with this vendor a lot for contract work, both at Charlie Brown Airport and the Public Works Department, the Fulton County Government, and the City of Atlanta, the truth be told. And so this vendor, again, like I said, has a great reputation. And one of the things I want to give our utility and water department credit for in this case was just within the last 3 years, the staffing that has been acquired in-house as well as some of the contractors that we brought under contract so that we can give up what I call an accurate assessment of the emergency status so that we can limit the liability, as you put it earlier. Again, I'm aware of a lot of these vendors, I'm looking at the vendors that are being selected through the bid process. Nobody's given a contract. They're actually bidding for the work. And we're blessed that we're ended up with these type of vendors like Civil Works. So with that being said, members of council, is there a motion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? That motion carries.
The next item is on-call fire truck services repairs and maintenance award. This is a request for mayor and council approval to award ITB number 25004 on-call fire truck services repairs and maintenance to Randall Brackett Fire Truck Repair and Status Atlanta Operations, doing business as Status Truck Trailer Repair, and execute service contracts with each vendor for an initial term of 1 year with four optional one-year terms.
Good evening, Mayor and Council.
Good evening.
As stated, the fire department is seeking on-call fire truck repair services to Randall Brackett Truck Repair and Status Atlanta, DBA Status Truck and Trailer Repair, to execute service contracts with each vendor for an initial term of 1 year with four optional one-year terms. The fire department is requesting mayor and council for approval of on-call fire truck repair.
Mr. Council, you have before you a fire truck services repair and maintenance award. Is there a motion?
So moved.
Is there a second? Motion is made and properly seconded. Any questions or comments by council?
Yes, I have a question. Go ahead. Chief. Is this a new vendor, and what have you done in the past?
Only one of them is a new vendor.
Which one?
Status Truck and Trailer Repair.
Okay.
Our procurement department handled the bids, and so we're presenting this to council through the bid process.
Okay. And then what did you do in the past for repairs? Did you have an on-call vendor?
Well, the trucks we bought early on during our inception of the fire department were on maintenance contracts like we did these last new trucks.
Okay. So those contracts have expired?
No, the new trucks are still in place. These are the trucks that we exist.
Yeah, for the original ones. Okay. All right. Thank you.
Mr. Heath.
What is the cost for the contract?
Well, it varies depending on the repair. You can have a truck with a ball valve problem, it might cost us $400 or $500. Or if a transmission goes out, it'll be $20,000. So it really varies. And I would have to come back to council, of course, with a $20,000.
So they don't have like a warranty that they're selling. You're basically getting this company to come in and do repairs.
Yes, sir.
Not a warranty.
No, sir.
Oh, okay, got it.
Any other members of council? Go ahead, Ms. Hudson.
Did you remember that question in the back? How are you going to keep up with those logs? Okay, so it was just one question that I had about will the maintenance logs be centralized under the fire chief office for audit and performance review?
Yes, we do that. That's how I go about presenting to you guys whenever I want to buy new apparatus. We look at the log for the maintenance, repair, and dollar value, you know, and how often trucks go down or go into repair. And then also the company that fixes it, they keep a log for us as well.
And it's also important to have it if a citizen roll up on you and want to check on how you handling any equipment.
Absolutely.
All right. Thank you, Chief.
Okay. Seeing any other questions, members of council? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? That motion carries.
Thank you.
Next item is the Finance Director monthly report.
Good evening, Mayor and Council.
Good evening.
Good evening.
I'll be presenting the finance report for the month of for the period ended September 30th, 2025. For the period ended September 30th, 2025, revenue exceeded expenditure by $8.6 million. Year-to-date general fund revenue received was $34.5 million, while the expenditure disbursed was $25.8 million. As at September 30th, the city had, wait a minute, okay, sorry. As at September 30th, the city had collected 90.3% of the budgeted revenue and had expended 70.7% of the budgeted expenditure. The next page, excuse me, the next page shows the revenue and expenditure comparison for 2 year period, that is from 2023-24 fiscal year to 2024-25 fiscal year. The fund balance as at the end of 2024-25 was $31 million. That's on the next page. And the next page shows the general fund revenue for the period as at the end of September 2025. You have the first column, you have the budgeted revenue. The second column shows the month-to-date collection and year-to-date collection and the percentage for the year-to-date collection, which is at the bottom, you see 90.27%. And the next page also shows the expenditure for the same period. Excuse me. The budget for this, the first column shows the budget, the next column shows the month-to-date collection, I mean expended amount, and the...
Hit your clicker. Hit your clicker for your next page. There you go.
Let me see. No.
No.
Going the
other way. There you go.
There we are. And the third column shows the percentage for year-to-date expended, which is 70.68%. For the enterprise fund for the same period, the revenue, as at the end of September, year-to-date revenue exceeded expenditure by $2.5 million. The enterprise revenue received totaled $26.4 million, while the expenditure disbursed was $24 million. For the same period, the city collected, as at the end of September, the city had collected 93% of the budgeted revenue, while 84% of the budgeted expenditure for the same period as well. And the next page shows a breakdown of the total year-to-date collection compared to that is the revenue compared to the expenditure. At the bottom, you'll see that the revenue over expenditure was $2.476 million. And the last page, the second to the last page, shows the two-year comparison, that is the 2023-24 and 2024-25 fiscal years. And you'll see that for 2024-25, the revenue fared better compared to the 2023-24 because it's for 2023-24 is $21.9 million, while for 2024-25 it's $26.4 million. On the expenditure side as well, the expenditure for 2024-25 exceeded that of 2023-24 by about $2 million. And the total revenue over expenditure at the bottom is $2.47 million. And I think that's all there is about it. If there's any question, I'll take it.
Any member of council have a question about the data that was just presented? Yes. Go ahead, Ms. Jones.
Thank you for that update. So we have begun our new fiscal year, fiscal year 26. When do you anticipate closing the books for fiscal year 25? And secondly, what's the plan for our annual audit?
For us at the end of September, we were able to close the books for September before on the, I believe it was 9th of October was when we closed September. We improved on the closing date since I resumed office, and we are on track to close the books by the middle of November. We are on track to do that, unless for any unforeseen circumstances. I'm sure we're going to close the books by the middle of November. And then I'm sure there will be some tidying up to be done. And then by the second week of January, we expect the auditors to come on a field visit and start going through the records.
All right, so are we on par to receive the contract for the auditors?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, do you know when we might receive that?
The contract?
The contract for the auditors, yes.
I thought the auditors are already on contract with us.
I'm not sure. So could
you... Jenkins?
Yes, but for the new fiscal year, to close out these books.
Yes,
ma'am. We've already...
They came on a field visit, I think it was August, when I invited them. They came
okay.
And we had a meeting and agreed that by the second week of January, they will return and start the auditing process.
And we can anticipate the actual audit report then, its presentation to mayor and council, 3 months, 4 months?
Yes,
okay. April, May?
Yeah, about that.
Okay, all right. Thank you so much.
Any other members? Go ahead, Mr. Heath, go ahead.
Yes, sir. Can you tell me how much we have in reserves?
Reserve, I think it's about $22
million. $2
million? 22.
$22
million. Yes, sir.
Okay, got it. Thank you.
Okay. Any other members of council? Actually, the city manager is actually willing to do his report. He's just going to have a screenshot. You won't be able to see him, but you'll be able to hear him. So, I'm sorry, sir. You finished, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, sir. Thank you.
Okay.
Okay.
Next is the city administrator's monthly report.
Okay.
Good evening, Mayor. Good evening, Mayor and Council. Are you able to hear me okay?
Yes.
Yes. Good evening.
Good evening to each of you. I have been monitoring the meeting. Unfortunately, I was hindered medically and was not able to be there with you in person, but I am absolutely proud of our competent staff who are able to move forward as they did in tonight's meeting. A couple of highlights from the month of September city administrator report. On the infrastructure for the city, the public safety complex completed the construction planning phase, and they are now applying for their land disturbance permit, which has been submitted and is under review. Simultaneously, we're also coordinating with the Georgia Department of Transportation with some right-of-way issues that are attended to the construction of the public safety complex. Some really great news that I'm sure all of you and our residents will be happy about is that Utilities Department has completed the Rivertown Road overhead to underground improvement project. It is now entering its very final stage. The power transfer was done earlier this month, and so we're looking forward to bringing that full presentation to you very shortly. Also, with communications, they have finalized our comprehensive communications policy, establishing a clear citywide standard for internal communications, media relations, and emergency messaging. Good news on the economic development front. We signed our official signing ceremony with Buttermilk Biscuit to move into Fairbanks Historic Commercial District. That's a key milestone in our downtown revitalization plans. They are looking forward to moving in or beginning the work in that space to be able to open in the very near future. Human Resources hosted the city's second annual Employee Appreciation and Field Day on September 11th. It's an opportunity for us to express appreciation to our employees for all of the hard work and dedication they provide to the citizens of Fairbanks. They enjoyed some team building games and fellowship, and it was a tremendous opportunity for us to take a moment to recognize all of their hard work. And the last update you've already addressed earlier this evening, the Planning and Zoning Department, led by the very capable Denise Brookins, completed the final draft of the comprehensive plan, which you approved tonight. Thank you for that. And lastly, the code enforcement team attended certification training through the Georgia Association of Code Enforcement, otherwise known as GACE, further strengthening our commitment to safety, compliance, and community engagement. Several of our code enforcement officers received specific certifications, including the manager of that division as well. And with that, I will pause. The report has been provided to all of our elected officials via the agenda packet and is posted to the city's website so citizens can look at that report at their convenience. Thank you, Mayor.
Does any member of council have a question about the information city administrator just presented?
I just have one question.
Yes, ma'am. Go ahead.
Mr. Phillips, here's praying to your speedy recovery. My one question regarding the Buttermilk Biscuit restaurant opening. Any idea when they are, have they begun the renovations, and when might they be scheduled to open? Time frame?
We do not. I'm sorry. Yes, ma'am. We do not have a specific timeline yet. That is a coordination between Buttermilk Biscuit and their team. They have architects and other folks on board. They're finalizing their plans for the internal renovation of that space. Once they do that, they will, of course, have to come to the city for all of the permits attended to that work. And as that process moves forward, which I would anticipate in the next 30 days, there would then be a construction timeline or a renovation timeline. As soon as that is available, we'll provide that to mayor and council. But it is active and ongoing. So as soon as they finalize their plans, bring that to the city and apply for the necessary permits, we could then tell you what the anticipated opening date would be.
All right. Thank you so much.
Yes, ma'am.
Any other members of council? Okay, seeing none, I'll move to the city council comments. I'll start with you, Mr. Smallwood.
All right, just a few comments. Of course, thank everyone for coming out. Kudos to all of the great presentations tonight. We have an excellent staff, as you see, and they are doing an amazing job. Want to also, again, just send a shout out or a congratulations to Apostle Danita Jones, attended a great service yesterday in the Lightning community and at In His Great Name Ministry. She actually was my introduction to Fairbanks about close to 25 years ago with the prayer walks. I used to live in Union City, but I would come down here for those prayer walks. And so I always want to give honor where honor is due, because the Fairbanks we see today is a Fairbanks that has been built by a lot of hardworking people and elders in the community who you may not see. Also, too, if you're so inclined, please, 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 preface by saying I'm a weather nerd, so I am definitely paying attention to what's going on in Jamaica, Category 5, one of the strongest hurricanes that, I mean, that region has ever seen, as well as I'm from New Orleans originally. So I remember looking at Katrina that night, and I remember how my family was affected by Katrina. Totally changed their lives. So please, if you're so inclined, pray for Jamaica, as well as we're in this bubble, this beautiful place called Fairbairn, and it seems like it's a unreal place, but there's also a government shutdown that is in place. So also, please pray for, I have a brother actually who's affected. He's a Capitol Police. He's on dignitary services, and he is affected by that shutdown. So please, yeah, Fairbairn, we got some great things going on, but please just pray for our larger community. Thank you.
Okay, Mr. Heath.
Yes, I likewise want to tell our staff how great I think y'all are. You really have brought many things to the city, have helped to restore a lot of things, such as I mentioned earlier, Duncan Park, the pool was a great asset. It's restored, and just so many wonderful things. And like I say, we as elected officials can't do it, but you guys are doing it. And we appreciate that. Likewise, I, as many of you know, I'm not running for re-election again. And 16 years is quite a while. And so I am looking forward to retiring. I'm 75 years old. It's time to lay down and relax for a little while and not be on a call, you know, for call meetings or whatever like that. So I appreciate that. And then, too, congratulations to my daughter that just had twin girls. So I'm headed tomorrow morning to Decatur, Tennessee, to see her. She had the twins, and then they put her back in the hospital, and she said she lost 14 pounds of fluids from the delivery. And so she had to go back in the hospital, and she just got back out. And so it's like I told her, you're most important to me of everything here on this earth, except my fur babies and my son, of course. But at any rate, I just want to thank each and every one of you that came tonight and have supported what we have done in the city all these years. And thank you all so much.
Thank you.
Tonight.
Ms. Hassan.
Thank you, Smallwood, Jamaica. Hit my heart. Good evening, Fairbairn family. Let's talk about something simple but sacred, your vote. Voting isn't just filling in a bubble on a ballot. It's declaring I will not sit quietly while decisions are made about my future, my children, or my city. Fair government only exists when you show up. It's not supposed to be a castle with closed doors. It's the people's house. Every ordinance, every budget, every plan should reflect the heartbeat of the citizens who built this community. When we vote, when you vote, you're not choosing sides, you're choosing service. You're saying that fairness still matters, that integrity still matters, that you expect your leaders to listen, not lecture, to build bridges, not barricades. Government at its best is a mirror. It should reflect the people's values, not the ego of a few. When it stops listening, it loses its way. But when citizens rise, participate, and demand transparency, government finds its true north again, service over self. So don't let apathy win this election. Don't let fear or frustration steal your voice. The ballot box is your microphone, and every vote echoes through the halls of this city. Let's keep Fairbairn fair. Let's make sure every voice counts, every vote counts, and every leader remembers who they serve. Because when the people lead, government follows. And that, my friends, is what democracy looks like. I want to thank Smallwood for talking about Jamaica, because my husband is in the direct eye of that storm. And so I just want you guys to continue to lift up Jamaica and those residents who are here from the island, who I've heard from today about their concern, that we stand in prayer with our Caribbean friends and our family here in Fairbairn. Ah, la Jamaica.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Davis.
Thank you, Mayor. I think I've commented enough tonight, but I will send up prayers for the people in Jamaica. Thank you.
Okay. Ms. Jones?
I too, want to send up prayers for Jamaica and their families and the families that are here, and to you, Councilwoman Hudson, and your husband, and to you, Councilman Heath. It is great news that your daughter is doing so much better, and safe travels as you go and meet your new grand twins. A shout out to Langston Hughes, whom they received, they won the debate tournament in Milton, Georgia this past weekend, earning a second place sweepstakes overall. And they were won the four top speaker awards. What a huge accomplishment on one of our schools right here in our neighborhood. So a shout out to them. As been said earlier, we are blessed with the great staff that we have. They continue to make us proud and to help us to elevate this city. I'd like to also thank Parks and Recs, Mr. Berry, and Ms. Jackson for the cancer walk that they organized last week in honor and celebration of the various cancer survivors. It was a huge participation, and we just want you to know that you continue to be in our thoughts and prayers. And with that, I will conclude. Thank you, Mayor.
Okay. I just want to again thank the staff for the footage, for the foresight dealing with the comprehensive plan and all the input that was given from the residents in this body, both current and former officials. We were really blessed to get the document that was actually manifested. I want to mention, too, for FYI, I had a chance to review the body cam of information that was discussed earlier today during public comment. Police Department did it in decent order, and we did it by the policy. I also want to mention and thank the staff again for the phenomenal job. I went to the Atlanta Regional Commission's State of the Region address, and numerous elected officials and consulting firms that were here, unknown to me, at the Fairburn Festival, and all they could talk about was the level of diversity they saw, as well as the level of professionalism, I guess, as it relates to dealing with the staff. There were several of them talked about firemen on bicycles and stuff, and so the stuff, just the things you just don't know that people pay attention to. And then one of the things, too, they was very impressed, as one elected official told me, how did you get that type of entertainment and nobody cusses, slips up and cuss? And so I said it was understood when we hired them that this is a family-oriented scenario. If you don't believe me, you saw the thousands of kids actually on one street over. So again, I want to just thank the staff. Then in final closing, Friday when we was with the seniors over there, Ms. Scott actually informed me that we had 125,000 views of the festival. I don't know if it was on, she said it was on our city Facebook or TikTok, I'm not sure. But as she put it to me, the secret is out. And so again, I want to thank all of our participants, as well as our staff, for making a day and made a mark in the city of Fairburn that'll never be erased. So with that said, we don't have an executive session, correct? Members of council, can I entertain a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second.
Motion is made and second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? That motion carries. Thank you. Have a good night, ladies and gentlemen.
Aye. Aye.